Sunday, a good Sunday morning begins Saturday evening. You go to bed early so you can be ready. I'll have to say that a few more times so people, you know, it can sink in. It's a truth that needs to get in there. That was Resurrection Sunday. And I think it would be a little narrow-minded to only celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and not your own. Because you've also been resurrected, right? Amen. And you have something to celebrate. Amen. The Lord brought you out of that bondage and gave you freedom. Well, that's something to celebrate. All right, I want to speak this morning with us, of course, about resurrection. But we know that Friday we had Passover. We don't like to say Easter. We like to say Passover. Easter is not in the Bible, but Passover is. Right? We're Bible Christians here. Now, Easter is what they do in the world, but we do Passover. That changes the whole attitude of the weekend is when we realize that it's Passover. You know, Jesus was born, and you know, I don't want to rain on anybody's picnic here, but he wasn't born on Christmas Day. We don't know when he was born. I believe he was born around this time of the year. But isn't it interesting that the Bible doesn't record the date of his birth, but it does record the date of his death? Yes. Which means that's a lot more important than Christmas is. Now, I don't expect a chorus of amen, but still, you know, that's the way things are. That his death and resurrection are much more important. You know, and I believe that, you know, God probably foresaw, I believe he did foresee that we're going to make a big mess of Christmas. And that we rather focus on Passover. Because that's where things changed. That's where things changed, was with Passover. When Jesus, the sinless one, came and received the death penalty for what we did wrong. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And you know, Jesus didn't come to just be a baby as he is in some people's minds, but he came to be the one that took away the penalty that we were supposed to receive. That's a big deal. That he died on Passover Friday. And he received the wages of our sins, or for our sins. And that Passover, of course, you know, when the Israelites came out of Egypt and the land of bondage and slavery, there was a Passover night when the angel of death passed over the house of the Israelites but hit the Egyptians. And so the prophetic meaning of that is that if you apply the blood, then that death, angel of death, will pass by you. It'll pass you over. But it's going to the ones that don't have the blood applied. Well, every year they had to celebrate Passover. And they had to kill a lamb that was spotless and blameless. It had to be perfect. Just as Jesus was the sinless one. And he had to bring his blood to sacrifice that, not to cover our sins, but to take it away. And so Jesus became the Passover lamb that we celebrate now. We don't have to kill a lamb anymore because the sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God was killed once and for all. And all we now need to do is receive that truth by faith. And say, it applies to me. I receive it. It applies to me. I don't have that penalty waiting for me anymore. Someone else paid the penalty. I don't have to pay the penalty. And so now we are free. And it became part of the law. God actually made that part of the law. And it was one of the feasts that all the men of Israel had to attend once a year. There was no excuse. They had to. It was the law. It was the law. But the law was pointing to something that was coming, that was much bigger, much greater, much more powerful than what happened there in the shadow and the type. Much more powerful. And every year as they did Passover, it was as if a finger was pointing to the future. A day is coming, a day is coming, that the shadow will pass away and reality will be established. And that day came when Jesus died on Passover Friday and took the penalty, the penalty that we all had to pay. Now, there was something unusual, as you know, about the birth of Jesus. It was not, it didn't happen the normal way, as you know. There was something different there. But there was also something very special about his death, because he died a sinless one who never did anything wrong. He died as a criminal, between two criminals, surrounded by criminals. And all the fury and the wrath of God was released upon him. Tore him apart, tore his body apart. The anger of God for man's rebellion released on him was a terrible, terrible thing to see. I believe his body was mangled more than the two others that died with him. I think they just crucified them there and waited for them to die. He died before they did because of what they did to him. The wrath of God was upon him. Not because of what he did, but because of what we did. And so he paid that penalty, that cruel, horrible penalty that was waiting for us. And they buried him, as you know. And it was the Friday, and as you know, Passover, the Sabbath begins on the Friday evening. And just before that happened, they buried him. And even if Jesus didn't rise from the death, our penalty would have been paid. But he did more than that. And that is what we celebrate today. That's the victory. Boy, that seemed like such a defeat. And people looked upon him and said, well, you helped everybody else. Why don't you help yourself? And it just looked as if everything they believed about him just wasn't real anymore. Why? It seemed like a defeat. But there was a victory in the making. There was a victory in the making. And so it always is with God. Sometimes things don't look like victory, but victory is in the making. It's coming. And even if you go through times of defeat, don't think, well, this is a defeat. No, victory is always in the making because of what Jesus did on the Sunday. Praise God. Now I want us to go in our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. Chapter 23. And I want to speak with us this morning about the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. And all of this is part of what was incorporated in the law. And as you know, God gave several feasts that everybody had to attend. And these feasts had different meanings and so on. And all of them had a prophetic meaning. There was the feast that they held, but every time they held the feast year after year, what they actually did was prophesying. They didn't know that, but they were prophesying. They were prophesying something that would come. In the future, in our day, it came. Now, there in verse 9 of Leviticus 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you. So this is a feast that was to take place for the first time in the promised land, right? It says, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Then, so this was a feast, really, not for the time when they were in Egypt or while they were in the desert moving on, towards the promised land. This was a feast that had to happen in the promised land. And there's great significance there for us, because the promised land is when you move out of slavery into the promises of God. So we have moved, when we received Jesus as our Lord, we moved from the life of slavery, of which Egypt was a type and a shadow. We moved into the promised land, the land of God's promises, the land of God's blessing, the land of God's promise to us, His covenant established in our hearts. It's a covenant of blessing. And so this feast is for people who moved from slavery into the promise, which means that's for us, right? It says, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. Now, you know, God always looks at the first of what you have. He always looks at, God's not interested in receiving the second or the third or the last of what you have to. He's not interested in that. Because God always, He gave His first and His best. And so, as you go through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you'll see the significance of first things. God doesn't want the last tithe of your income. He wants the first tithe. Proverbs says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. The first tithe is He. Actually, is He. When we give our tithe, when we bring our tithe, we actually haven't done anything. Do you know that? Because the tithe belongs to God. We start giving when we have given our tithe and we give on top of the tithe. Then we've given something. But the tithe is the Lord's. And it's the first tithe. So I'm always careful that the first tithe, we don't touch that. It's always the first tithe that we believe we give. And we give, and I don't want to go there, but I'll just say that, there's no charge to that. It's free. That we give before the tax man comes to take his share, or anything else that goes off our salary, because the first is the Lord's. The first tithe we give to God, because we want to stay with the first things. Amen. So the first, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. So when they came into that land, and they planted their crops, the first crops that came out, they had to take a sheaf from the first crop, and that they had to bring to the Lord. There was a little ritual there, and we'll go into that in a minute. Verse 11, he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, there's an interesting deviation here from the rule, because this is not on the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was the big day of the Jews, the Saturday. That was the holy day. But here there's a feast that doesn't fall on the Sabbath, it falls on the day after the Sabbath. And it had to be the first sheaf, and the priest had to take that sheaf and wave it before the Lord. You know, I always think that waving is kind of interesting. Because if you want to attract the attention of somebody, you wave, right? You wave. And what I want to see in that is that when he took that first sheaf of grain in the new land, here's the promise now. Here's the first fruits of the new promised land. This is what God had promised even in the time of Abraham. And now it finally came to pass. And here is the first sheaf. And they wave it to the Lord. And so here it is. The promise has been fulfilled. The promise has been fulfilled. Here it is. What you spoke hundreds of years earlier, here it is. Here it is. And the priest had to wave that first sheaf. As an honor to the Lord, I believe, it's a way to honor him and bless him and thank him and say, here it is. What you spoke back then has now happened. Here it is. Amen. God's word will always be fulfilled. You know, when people praise the Lord, we wave, right? We raise our hands and we wave. We say, thank you, Lord. We're here. I'm here. And we raise our hands and we wave because it's an honor to God. It's an acknowledgement of what you promised has now been fulfilled in my own life. And so we wave, and people wave, people wave. That's something that we do naturally. But here, it says on the day after the Sabbath. And it's interesting that it was not on the Sabbath, but the day after the Sabbath, that's the Sunday. They had to do that. And the Sunday is interesting because that's the first day of the week, of course. The first day of the week, we believe, is when God started creation also, right? Because God rested on the seventh day, which was the Sabbath. It was a day of new beginnings. It was a day of new beginnings. It was a day of God's creation. It was a day of God's love expressed to creation. And God just pouring out his love on this planet by creating all these wonderful things that we see around us and creating us all. It started on the first day of the week. But although the Sabbath was the holy day of the week for the Jews, there was something that started to point to the Sunday. Here in this early feast, there was something that started to point to the Sunday. The first day of the week is going to be quite a day. That's going to be quite a day, the first day of the week. And so that was a great feast. I believe there was great joy in the camp when they brought in the harvest, a wonderful day. And they took the first and they waved it to the Lord. And there were some other things they had to do on that day. But there was the sheaf of the first fruits. Now, you understand that that sheaf pointed to Jesus, right? He was the first fruits. Also, we'll touch on that in a minute. As they waved that sheaf, what they were doing was not only to thank God for what he now finally brought to pass in their lives, but at the same time, they were prophesying of another sheaf of first fruits that was coming. That had to do with the Sunday, the first day, a day of new beginnings, a day of great joy, a day when there will be a first fruit of a brand new kingdom. And that's the day that we celebrate today. Today is wave offering day. Today is wave offering day. And we can wave because of what Jesus did on the resurrection day. When he was the first one to rise from the dead. A brand new creation. And that new creation has these qualifications. They were first dead, but now they're alive. They were dead in their trespasses and sins, but now they've been raised together with Christ. And a new creation rose up. He was not the only one, but he was the first one. He was the first one. You know, I love it when the Bible begins to talk about these things. The Apostle Paul there in the book of Corinthians, he's talking about the first Adam. And he says, in him we all died. We fell away from, we were alienated from the life of God. And we died spiritually. Our hope was taken away. And death hung over us as a threat. And everybody knew a day would come that it will all be over. Doesn't matter how wonderful life is and how much we accomplished, how much we enjoyed it, that will all come to an end. It was a terrible threat. But Jesus took that threat away and gave us hope, gave us a new life that has an end with him and not in the grave. Amen. A new creation that first was dead but now is made alive. The first sheaf was Jesus. When he rose that Sunday morning, that first sheaf of the new crop came out of the grave. And there he was, never to die again. Now, you know, there were some people that were raised from the dead. The Bible has accounts of a few of them. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus was dead only for 3 days. The difference is Lazarus died again. But Jesus didn't die again. Oh, he is alive. And he is alive today. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And now he is seeing to it that his testament is fulfilled in our lives. His will, his last will and testament is being fulfilled in our lives. Praise God. And so he became the first fruits of a new creation. He became the first among many brethren. He became the first that have this qualification that they were dead in their trespasses. But now they're reconciled with God. And they've received that life that Jesus said he came to give us. One of the promises of the New Testament. I have come to give you life. And that more abundantly. And not just life, but life more abundantly. He came to give us one of the promises. And that's one of the things we wait for today. Thank you, Lord. Not just for life, but life more abundantly. There's a rich promise that God wants to fulfill also in your life. Jesus didn't die just to give us a free ticket to heaven. Some people think, well, you know, I have to go to church because I don't want to go to hell one day. Well, let me tell you, you need to broaden your horizon. You need to see a little more of what Jesus came to promise to us, to fulfill to our lives. That is much more than just going to heaven. He came to give us life and that more abundantly. And he wants you to have it. And with that comes the ability to rise up from the chains of death that hold us down. And break free and live that life to his glory. Amen. Amen. It's wave offering day today. And we're celebrating the feast of first fruits. What's interesting in the New Testament, we understand that in Christ the law passed away. A lot of Christians still struggle with the law. The law was never given to the Gentiles. It was given to the Jews. And we never were Jews. We were always Gentiles. So the law never had any bearing on any one of us. But the disciples understood that. And we begin to see that their day of celebration moved from Sabbath to the first day. Because they didn't celebrate the law anymore. They celebrated the resurrection from the dead. It became their day of resurrection. It became the day that we celebrate that passing from death over into life. And Sunday became Resurrection Day, the day of the Lord. Oh, that our communities, and especially our church communities, once again may begin to give him that celebration day, that Sunday celebration day. Oh, we celebrate our resurrection. There's a lot of things that we can do, but I believe that Sunday is Resurrection Day. And it's worthy of a celebration with the saints. Amen. Well, let's go over to the New Testament. And 1 Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. First 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here in this chapter, the Apostle Paul really is dealing with some fears that the Corinthians had concerning death and some questions that they had. And I don't want to go into all of that this morning, but I want to pick up at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the what? The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Those who died. He became the first fruits. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. There is the prophecy fulfilled. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. Now, there's a little principle that we found in the law. It went something like this. If the first fruits is holy, the lump is holy. If the first fruits is holy, the lump is holy. And if we begin to see what Jesus came to do for us, he's the first fruits. He is the type that we all become. He is the type that he came that he came to bring about in every one of us. Now the exhortation comes all through the New Testament. Be holy, for he is holy. Be separate. That's what holy means. Be separate. Be separate, for he is separate. He is one of kind, you know. He is one of kind. He is calling us to be separate and to become one of his kind. You were dead, but now you're alive. That's a different race. And now the Bible begins to speak to us there in 2 Corinthians, where it says, for if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We're part of the first fruits now that Jesus came to be. We're part of the first fruits. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Well, there's a good place to give a wave offering to God. All things have passed away. There's so many Christians that still hold on to old things. They go back into before the time they were born, and they were trying to look for a root of a curse and stuff like that. The Bible says all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, it's a new creation. It's a new race. And here is the sign. Here is the qualification. Here is what sets this race apart from all other races. They were dead, but now they're alive. Never to die again, but to be alive, just as he is alive. And 1 John tells us, when we see him, we will be like him. When we see him, we will be like him. Oh, we are going to be like him. Don't fix your eyes on what you see around you. Fix your eyes on the one that you will become like. He is the one that became the first fruits of this new crop. Praise God for that. Verse 26. Let's read on here. Verse 23. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Do you know that there's a day coming when death will be no more? Death will be no more. And why is that important? Because death is what man fears more than anything else, is death. The greatest death that we can have is to be separated from the life of God. Eternal death. But Jesus came to take death away. The fear of man. Why is that important? Because what you fear controls you. What you fear, you're controlled by. And what you're controlled by, you're limited by. And because people are limited, they are scared to reach out and become all that God made them to be in Christ. There's a limitation that comes because death is there. Death is there. Death is. He's the one that controls. He's the one that we fear. But Jesus came and he took death away. So when we bury your body, doesn't mean you died. Your body is not what it's all about. And some people still need to find that out. They spend all the money in the world, all the attention in the world to make their bodies look good. And God says it's not about the body. It's not about the body. It's about you who live in the body. That is where God's eye is. It's on the one on the inside. Oh, God, help us to make that one beautiful and make that one look good. And make that one become attractive to God. And make that one become attractive to the world that is without hope. And without an answer to the problems that we have today. Because that will give hope to a dying world. Is when people, a race rises up that has no fear of death. When a race rises up that is not controlled by death or by anything else. That has the freedom to receive all that Jesus died to give us. That has access to the resources of God. That sees and understands that we have come to change the world that we live in and to usher in the kingdom of God into the hearts of people. All things are not created equal. All things are not created equal. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. That's not the same as the old creation. It is different. And you better believe that it is different. And in a good way. Some people think, oh, the church is just there to take money away from me and tell me you cannot do this and you cannot do that. If you find out what you can do, you won't be bothered by what you cannot do. And waste your life on that. And begin to pour and invest your life into something that is much richer than what this world can ever offer you. I believe the new race also has new goals. And a new purpose. And we have new energy because of the anointing that is upon us. And we have new wisdom because there's wisdom that comes from God that makes the wisdom of this world look foolish. Come on now. There are some things that we need to tap into. We're not just talking about things. These things are available there for God's people. This new race that Jesus came to usher in. But here's the interesting thing. There was the first Adam, and we all became like him because we were born out of him. Kind produces kind. There's nothing you can do about it. Kind produces kind. You're born out of a fallen man. You're a fallen being. There's nothing you can do except die to that old being and be born again. Into the one that rose from the dead and became alive forever. And now the Bible says He is seated at the right hand of God. But it also says we are seated with him in heavenly places because we are in him. We are in him now. And now we read of the first Adam, but you don't read of the second Adam. But you do read of the last Adam because there's no more Adam coming. The last Adam is the one that changed everything. And we are born out of him. And he's the one that died but rose again. The first fruits of God. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Oh, God's changing. He changed us from being people of dust to heavenly people. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 and be closing with this. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. And this is what Jesus did for us in verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Amen. Amen. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He came to release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When death went, bondage went. When death was dealt with, bondage was finally dealt with. And we are now released to be all and become all that God wants us to be. And what will we be like? We will be like him. We are of his race now. We were first born out of the man of dust, flesh and blood. But now we were born again in him who never dies. And that is why, that is what the wave offering prophesied would come. Thank God. There's a new crop. There's a new crop. There's a new creation. In the promised land, something new rose up. In the kingdom of God, something new grew out. And it became the first fruits of the new. It's different from the old. In the old Egypt, they produce crops under slavery. But now they produce a crop with a wave offering. We're free. We are free. We have reason to rejoice. We have now been released. And we don't have the fear of death. And therefore, we're not subject to bondage anymore. We're a free people. And God wants us to be free and understand our freedom and rejoice in our freedom and bring our wave offering and celebrate Resurrection Day. Not only when Jesus rose from the dead, but our own Resurrection Day when we became new creation beings. I believe before Jesus comes back, what we talk about and what seems to get stuck in our heads, will one day explode in our hearts, and the church will rise up, and that new creation will rise up with the authority that Jesus has given it, with the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and instill fear in the camp of the enemy. Amen. There will be a wisdom of God that comes through his new creation, and we will lose, like the Apostle Paul. He says, I have nothing in the world. There's nothing in the world that is attractive to me, because I have found the one. And I want to know him above everything and everyone else. I want to know him because I'm going to be like him. Amen. And that new creation will rise up, and all the attractions of the world will just fall away, and it will stand up in all his glory and all his power, and it will all be to the glory of the one that paid the price. A new creation. We're a new creation. We are the crop of the promised land. A new people. Let's all stand. The final victory was won, and it was won for us. We have been made more than conquerors. He is the conqueror, but we have been made more than conquerors through him. Amen. Now, I want us to just stand there for a minute. I want every eye closed. I want every eye closed. Let's you do that, just a moment of reverence. Just close every eye. Nobody's looking around. So I need to speak to every one of us personally. I just want to speak to every one of us personally. I want to ask you a question. Are you part of that new crop? Have you come into that promised land where God can fulfill his promises? Are you ready to say a goodbye to a life of bondage and control and step into freedom? If not, if you have not done that, if you still fear death, and you want to make a change today and want that burden lifted off of you, now I'm going to ask you quickly, just quickly raise your hand, and I want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you. If there's anybody here that needs to do that, this is Resurrection Day. And I believe the Lord is ready to give you a resurrected life. It'll be better than the old. Be better than the old. This is a day of opportunity. And I believe God is speaking to our hearts. He's coming with a brand new thing. An offer of life. And all you need to do is raise your hand. That'll be the best decision you've ever made. That'll be the best decision you've ever made. The beginning of a new life filled with promises of the goodness of God and life eternal without fear of death and bondage. And those who are listening in on the internet, there's a number on the website that you can call. Don't let this moment pass. Don't let this opportunity pass. Let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Make a wise decision. Make a wise decision. You know, I know that people are so entangled in programs that they got themselves involved in and with, that they have left no room for God. But they diminish their own lives by doing so. Because when God steps in, he enriches a life. And some think, I cannot do this and I cannot do that. Oh, you can. If you want to, you can. You can if you really want to. You can. and step into something that is brand new and exciting like nothing else. Thank you. I'm going to pray now. Father, thank you that your Spirit speaks to us. Even in this day, when we become so dull of hearing, and there are so many voices in the wind calling us, we still hear your voice speaking to us. And thank you, Lord, that you will continue to speak. And I pray for those hearts that have opened to you this morning, that there will be a quality decision to become all that God made them to be. Not what the world wants to make of them. Not what society wants to make of them. But what the Creator of all things wants to make of them. Pray for courage and faith. In Jesus' name, amen.